Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about responding to and interpreting supernatural means of guidance. And we've been talking about some of the pitfalls and challenges in the whole concept of receiving guidance from God. And we've started with the supposition that God wants us to seek Him for guidance. And He does that because guidance is important to us, not because He needs us to seek Him, but because He knows we need guidance. So this is one of the ways that He has constructed to develop opportunities for training and relationship with Him. So it's not about need, it's about opportunity. Remember, God is already guiding you. Who you truly are, a spirit being, already knows all the answers to all the questions you have. Any direction you need, you already have. So you don't need to be thinking, okay, I don't know, you know, God's abandoned me or whatever. Or I've missed Him so often, He can't get me back on track. That's why He's being so quiet. It's amazing the direction we go to is so negative when God doesn't speak to us the way we expect Him to. And I'm sure you've had run into so many people as well as I have that at one point in time thought they were hearing from God and had gotten, you know, even prophetic words and were out doing what they thought they were supposed to, and then years later you run into them and they've completely lost their confidence, their way in pursuing God. And you ask them why, you know, and they're disappointed, and you ask them why, what's happened, and they just either blame themselves or they blame God, rather than perhaps their expectations were wrong. Very often we think that if God points us in a direction, He's just going to open every door and, well, we basically just have expectations as to what it will look like, what it will feel like, what it will be like to receive divine guidance. And yet that's exactly what God wants to keep us from doing, is developing those expectations. Because very often our expectations are based much more on our own desires, our temperament, what we find suitable for us, or what we've been taught, our own history. We talked a little bit last week about faith, the whole concept of faith, that if you were raised with the concept that, you know, when God will point you in the right direction, and then you walk out by faith, and He will meet you to the degree that you step out in faith. Of course, that doesn't always work out that way, and so we reject, instead of rejecting that teaching, we reject God, or we reject ourselves, that we must have missed Him or sinned or not heard Him, or we're being attacked, there's an enemy involvement. on and on and on, and we spin our wheels rather than coming to the conclusion, or at least questioning, is my theology correct? Does what I believe work? Can I objectively receive direction, guidance from God, and objectively apply it to my life, and objectively evaluate the effectiveness of that training, that direction, and objectively know that I am hearing from God? And of course, the answer to all those questions is yes, you can, but you can't do it without dependence on God. Very often, what we believe suits our soul maintaining its own supremacy and resisting the direction and leading of God. God doesn't do well with competition, and he's going to remember that we have three enemies: the world system, the devil and his buddies, and our own flesh or self-life. Our soul has a way of doing things, and it's not going to let it go. And it's developed a lot of crutches in the meantime, because it was, your soul has been wounded and has not been up to the task of meeting your needs. So it's got a lot of coping mechanisms, a lot of crutches. But God, once he re-inspirited you, already met all those needs. So the inadequacies of your soul no longer matter, because you have already received everything you need for life in godliness here on this earth. When we continue to live out of our soul, in other words, as if all our needs have not been met, we there in those areas is where we become an obstruction to God's eternal life. So we, our soul, becomes, shall we say, the enemy of God. Not the soul as he created it to be, but when our soul struggles to be something it's not, the meter of needs, when our soul tries to sit on the throne, that's when we've got a problem with God. Now, the other enemies, the world system, has already been conquered. The enemy, Satan and his buddies, they've already been conquered. They were both conquered 2,000 years ago. But Jesus did not conquer his flesh. He didn't have any to conquer. From the very beginning, he knew how to hear from his Father and to depend on his Father to receive everything he needed through his Father to meet all his needs. So his soul, he had one, yes, absolutely. He has a temperament, a mind, a will, and emotions, and God put his mind, will, and emotions together for this purpose, for him to be the Lamb of God, a sacrifice. And yet he, like all of us, had to learn how to not depend on the beautiful soul that God gave him, because the soul God gave him would not meet his needs. Now, the difference between him and us is he knew it. You and I, when we're faced with the challenge, whether it's in, well, whatever area of our life, if we try several things and it doesn't work, we either give up or we try harder. We either reject ourselves or we reject others. Instead of thinking, maybe the reason this is failing is because the soul is not meant to meet these needs. And then what's fascinating is that we allow the soul to renege on those things that it is meant to be. You have a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. You have the way that is constructed, how it functions on this earth, in this earth plane, is judgment, decision-making, involvement, being a good citizen, all these things. And we have a tendency to relinquish those things into the hand of God. And those are the things that he said, no, as while you were here on this earth, you are to be involved in the things of this earth. Occupy. But not interpret those as spiritual activities. Those are soulical and supernatural activities. So where does the spirit... So we take on what we shouldn't and ignore what we need to take on. Because it's not an... Our spirit, our soul knows how to avoid change. And one thing that's fascinating is throughout history, there aren't that many varieties of soul. And this is one of the reasons that we often will share about some of the tactics of the enemies of the world system, you know, just getting caught up in the tyranny of the urgent. You know, it has to be done now, rather than questioning, does it need to be done at all? You know, and being able to say no, being able to make our own decisions. You know, we have a lot of misconceptions in the church about what relationships are, about the church itself, about who God is. And we would be wise to often step back and say, Lord, is this what you want me to believe, to be believing about this subject right now? With the understanding that odds are really good that we don't have all the information we need to draw our own conclusion. So it's not that we reject the issue, but that we make those conclusions gently, lightly, ready to change. For one, that thing that keeps us from becoming dogmatic. Because as soon as we think we have all the answers in any area, we're going to find out that, no, we don't. Because in our soul, we just have not experienced... We're barely able to perceive God's direction, God's guidance, his voice, let alone be able to conclude that we've heard him completely on any given subject. So as long as that's true, let's hold gently to what we believe so that when he does change it, and it may be changed in the same direction we already believe, but make it more or expand it, or 180 degrees, is not in what we believe, but in whom we believe. And we believe not based on our thought processes, our emotional processes, or because it's practical, it works in a given situation, but we believe because we know, because we have experienced God's answer for a situation. And this is part of our challenge, is that Western Christianity especially is so involved in being active and doing and learning and being challenged and filling time, that we rarely have an opportunity for God to guide us, for him to direct us, to train us, to sharpen our senses, to clean out our ears, so that we can hear him clearly, so that we can know his voice with confidence. And we go back to Jesus saying that greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. And then what's the first thing he told them to do? Go and wait. Wait until I come. How often do we first want to get involved in something? And we're told to get involved in something. Keep moving. You know, and there's always something going on in a church or a ministry. There's always something going on. It's really rare to be able to rest, to truly rest. And yet, it is in that rest that we really can perceive and are tuned to that still small voice. So even as we are learning to hear him in regards to divine guidance and supernatural guidance and even physical guidance, we come at all our training with calm and rest and confidence, knowing that the end from the beginning has already been established, knowing by experience how much God loves us, what he has in store for us, and that what he has in store for us is good and pleasing to us. So we can be patient with ourselves and with God and know that tomorrow the situation might be totally different. You know, sometimes people look back and, you know, what are your goals that you set, your priorities that you set 5 years ago? And none of them are on their radar now. Now, sometimes that's just because they did not know how to set priorities and goals. But a lot of times it's because God takes us, we're at point A, and we think God gives us a point Z, and that the next thing we're going to take is to point B, and eventually we're going to go A, B, C, D, until we get to point Z, the goal of our journey. And yet God will very often take us from point A to point B to point C, and then maybe to point N, and then over to T, and then R, and maybe even back to B again. Because it's not reaching Z that's important. It's the process. Are we resting in him? Are we hearing him? Are we experiencing relationship with him? So again, that's what brings us back to responding to and interpreting supernatural means of guidance. As you experience new things in God or old things, as you begin to experience, be aware that you are doing so with pre-expectations. And that over time, God's going to probably want to talk to you about at least some of your preconceptions. He may affirm some, but also he may refute some. And when you are receiving that eternal life from your spirit into your soul, you're going to be much more willing to let your crutches fall. Even as difficult as it may be, let them just drop so your hands can be free to accept what God has for you. Now, sometimes it takes effort to do that. Sometimes you look back and you see along your pathway is littered with different crutches. You didn't even realize you were dropping them. So this is why our focus is always back on hearing the Lord, allowing him to free us from our soul. He's the one who removes the wall. we're the ones who cooperate and are attentive and show up for class. So we've been talking about 9 steps to responding to and interpreting supernatural guidance. The first one was make yourself available to receiving supernatural guidance. The second one was to be prepared. Assume that when you recognize, when you're seeking guidance, God's going to show up and give you guidance. So be ready. Be ready to write it down or record it in some way, but have an expectation that he's going to give you that guidance. Third is be objective. You don't need to wonder, okay, was that God? Did I hear him? Is that the direction he gets? Is that from him? Or is this just a circumstance? Was that a sign? Was that for me? Maybe it was a sign, but it wasn't for you. Or it was for you, but it had nothing to do with guidance. Now, to do that, you're going to have to be quiet internally. And this is why one of the problems we have is we don't really need to hear from God until we're in a crisis. And at that point, most of us are so rattled emotionally, soulically, that we find it even harder to hear from him. Now he's gracious and he speaks to us even in those times, even though, you know, we can't hear him real well. He does intervene on our behalf and the circumstances come about as he chooses. But the more, in other words, don't wait for a crisis. Don't wait till you have to hear from him to learn how to hear from him. You can do it now. And this is something, hearing from him is absolutely something he wants. That's always going to be on your project list. You can never hear him clearly enough. You can never have enough confidence, enough assurance, enough of his love. That's always going to be on your list. How that is working in your life, that's a whole different issue. So be objective. Be specific about what you heard or saw. You know, I'm talking about a sign. Be specific. Write it down. What did you observe? How did you feel? What did it sound like? Fourth is confirm that supernatural manifestation, for instance, that sign, is actually from the Lord. Signs come from all different kinds of sources. So when you are seeking guidance and guidance comes, don't assume it's from the Lord. Ask. And that's number 5. That's number 4 and 5. Number 4, confirm that the supernatural manifestation is from the Lord simply by asking, Lord, is this from you? And then you may even want to ask, Lord, is this in regard to the direction I'm seeking, the guidance I need? What we're really looking for is our first reaction, take it back to God, asking the right questions. This is something, it may be a real struggle for some, because we're not only used to talking to God directly, one-on-one, but to really question him, to ask questions. A lot of times we feel like, well, I should know that. I should know the answer. But no, ask him. That shows a great respect. Assume that we know what he means. Lord, explain this to me. Am I getting this right? This is what I'm concluding. Is this what you want me to conclude? So then in 5, you ask for the interpretation. only God, only the one giving the message, can interpret the message. So ask him what that message is. What is the meaning? It's not your responsibility to figure out or discern or study out or ask out the meaning of any guidance, divine or supernatural or physical. Our goal is to depend on the Lord for guidance, not to figure out a pattern of how he leads and guides. He may lead and guide you one way this year, and next year you be being trained a totally different way. And he's entitled to do that however he wants. And remember that your spirit has agreed with that. Your spirit said, Lord, however you want to do this. Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, let's do this. Also remember that the interpretation may not be coming to you on the same, using the same symbols or structure that you received or discovered the sign. You know, there may be a sign of a scroll unfolding in the sky over your head with animated animals and activities and friends and people and words. And the Lord's interpretation of it, his meaning may just be, I want you to spend more time with me. Or, I just want to confirm the decision you just made. A sign is to get your attention. It may or may not have anything to do with the content, with the guidance, with the information you need. Remember, too, that supernatural guidance is available to believers and non-believers alike, but only Christians, because of their personal relationship with God, because we've been reborn spiritually, only you and I have direct access to his interpretation. We ask God, what does this mean? Non-believers can't do that. They're not on that one-on-one. Now, sometimes God puts that desire in a non-believer's soul so that he can establish a new relationship with them. But you and I, what is it? We can come before the throne boldly. We can ask for information, for instruction, with nothing between us. We can just boldly say, Lord, what is going on here? What is this? What does this mean? Am I on the right track? We can have a conversation with God. Unbelievers can only receive. Just because someone has had a supernatural encounter or can even provide what sounds like an appropriate interpretation, that doesn't at all mean that they have a personal relationship with God and have therefore heard from God. They can't test what they hear. They can only accept it. And this is why, whether it comes from God or from one of our other enemies, there's a real hard time questioning the source. So sometimes it's accurate as being from God because God does speak to us all, but there's no way of knowing whether it's for them, whether it's from God or another source. Now you and I, whatever it is, we can say, Lord, is that you? And he will answer in one way or another. And we can work it through and find out if it's from him. Non-believers can't do that. Fortune tellers you know, mediums, they don't rely solely on demonic and the occult to get direction. But they have learned how to tap into their solical senses. So they can hear God and these other avenues without the benefit of having their senses quickened by God and therefore be able to test and discern what is from God and what is from other sources. So we will pick it up there next week. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. If you want to get in touch with me, it's diane@therainersclub.org. There's a contact form you can use it as well. It's always great to hear from you. I do appreciate your great feedback and comments. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great night.